Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm a little bit nervous about tonight. There's a bunch of you here. And we're going to be lighting candles in just a moment. So I've got my eyes on the fire extinguishers, and I am ready for this evening. It's going to be exciting. I want to invite you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. We've been in a wonderful series in this December, in our December nights. And as we've been looking at the different realities of Christmas, last week we looked at Christmas is for those who grieve. And you might remember last week we looked at the passage that in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah prophesied over his son-to-be that we know as John the Baptist. And we spent some time realizing that what God promised was that he would send a prophet like Elijah, who was John the Baptist, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And we looked at a passage last week that said that John the Baptist would help announce that this Messiah is going to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And so last week, the message that we shared was distinctly Christmas is for those who grieve. But tonight's message is really about how do we prepare for Christmas. And so there's just a few days left until Christmas. On Wednesday, we'll be gathered around trees and with family celebrating Christmas together. And I guess you have to ask yourself, are you ready? And I apologize because probably some of you are getting a little stressed even beginning thinking about it tonight, about things that you have to do. But one of my favorite stories of unpreparedness related to Christmas involves a guy named Stacy Reed. Now, Stacy Reed and his twin brother Tracy were graduates of the University of Arkansas at Monticello. Daryl Cook actually is probably responsible for these two young men. He discipled them in his ministry when he was the BCM director there. I followed Daryl there. And so by that time they graduated, and Stacy and Tracy at different times served with me as assistant BCM directors. Now, Tracy today is a pastor in Mississippi, and Stacy is a pastor at First Baptist Church of Batesville, Arkansas. But on this particular Christmas, you just have to know Stacy. Stacy was notoriously forgetful, or sometimes we suspect intentionally forgetful. Like, Stacy is the guy that we'd go to lunch together, and as we're paying, he would go, "Oh, gosh, I forgot my wallet." And so you're like, this is like the 10th time. And so if he was going to lunch with you before you ever left, you would just say, "Do you have your wallet?" And that would just kind of short circuit his plans. But on this particular Christmas, and it's just legendary among the Reed family friends, this particular Christmas, Stacy had been charged with the responsibility of helping do some things for Santa that Santa had not done for his wife, Dawn, yet. Dawn had a few knickknacks that she had wanted, and she had just said, "Here's some things that I didn't tell Santa about, but can you help him out and just get these stocking stuffers for me?" So Stacy was like, "Of course I can do that. I love you, honey," and I'm probably really exaggerating this whole deal, but he waited and he waited and he waited until Christmas Eve. About 6 p.m., he went out to Walmart to get all of these stocking stuffers. And to his dismay, when he pulls up, Walmart is completely dark. And so he is stressed. And men, I'm just telling you, just heads up, go before 6 p.m., okay? But as he's sitting there wondering, what do I do? He came upon a genius idea. So on Christmas morning, as everyone is opening their presents and seeing what Santa brought and seeing things that had been put in their stockings, Dawn, his wife, opens her stocking, and there's some things that Santa had left in there, but otherwise, there was lots of paper. It was post-it notes, and on every post-it note was written an IOU and what the gift was supposed to be. So, I hope you don't have a story like that about your unpreparedness for Christmas. But tonight, what I'd like us to do is I want us to look at what does it mean for us to be biblically and spiritually prepared for Christmas. How do we prepare ourselves for Christmas? So in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, let's read together through verse 6. It says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, while Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it's written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight, the rough ways smooth, and everyone will see the salvation of God. So it's this phenomenal passage, and it tells us that after John the Baptist was born, about 27, 28 years later, he began his ministry. And his ministry had been foretold by the prophet Isaiah. And John fully stepped into that ministry and began to preach. And he identified himself as this voice of the one crying in the wilderness. We see it in John chapter 1. Verse 23, John said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said. So John understood that his life was a fulfillment of a prophecy that had been given some 400 years before. John understood that he was that voice, that his entire ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus to come. He was not the Messiah, but everything about what he said and what he did and what he preached was to get people ready for Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76, his dad, Zechariah, had prophesied about him. He says, you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. So all of John's purpose was to prepare people for Jesus, to get the Jews ready to receive Jesus when he came, to get their hearts centered, to urge them to look within, and to also encourage them to look without. John's whole ministry was to make sure that their hearts and their minds were ready to receive and to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and to kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, the angel had told Gabriel, and Gabriel had communicated to Zechariah this message in Luke 1:14. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his, meaning John's, birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's wombs. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. So Christmas then is the advent of a season of preparation. That's why we light Advent candles with churches across the world today. Advent, each and every week, built anticipation in our hearts, preparing us to celebrate the coming of Jesus both internally and externally, rejoicing. You see, the reality of it is that the angel Gabriel told Zechariah that the ministry of his son, John, was to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Everything about John was to get people ready for Christmas, to get people ready to receive Jesus. So how does one get ready spiritually and biblically for Christmas? It's not just about going to Walmart at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. How do we know that we're ready for Christmas? Are you tonight ready for Christmas? Well, according to Scripture in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, this was the message that John preached to people. This was his Christmas preparation message. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now that word repent simply just means change your mind about. Quit thinking this way, quit thinking like the world, and start thinking like God wants us to think. To acknowledge that what God says is sin really is sin. To acknowledge the reality that we need Jesus in our hearts and our lives so that we can be saved. Quit thinking that we don't need Jesus. Change your mind and realize you do need Jesus. That's what repent means, to change the way that you think. And so that's how John began to preach to the Jews, saying you need to change your minds about how you're living. You need to change your lives. You need to change your hearts. You need to change your loyalties and trust Jesus with everything that you are. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, there's a quick little nugget there that's pretty powerful, but John looks over and there's a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees listening to him preach. And they're just kind of over there, just kind of like skeptically taking notes because they're so religious. And John looks at these Pharisees and Sadducees and he says, "You should produce fruit that's consistent with repentance." In other words, repentance isn't just changing your mind and now believing one thing instead of what you used to believe, but repentance is also acting on your mind change. It's acting on a new set of beliefs. And so John looked at the Pharisees and he says, "You must produce fruit. There must be activity, obedience in your life as a result of your repentance." So a few months later, as you know from the Gospels, that John the Baptist is preaching and he falls into disfavor with one of the Herods. And this Herod has John arrested. And finally, this Herod has John killed. Suddenly, Jesus is the last man standing in a way. The man who had come to prepare the way for the Messiah had done so. He had preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He'd helped prepare people's hearts for Jesus. And so now Jesus fully steps into his ministry. Now it's time for the ministry of Jesus to begin. And listen to how Jesus preached, because it's really familiar. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, it says, "When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and he left Nazareth, and he went to live in Capernaum by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, 'Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the road by the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned.' And from then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" You know, these days, we kind of rib each other sometimes as pastors when we preach someone else's sermon. And here's Jesus. He's like plagiarizing John the Baptist's sermon. He's preaching the exact same message that John preached, because this is the only way to prepare yourself for the advent of Jesus into your life. It's the only way to prepare yourself for Christmas biblically and spiritually is through repentance, through getting right with God, by confessing your sins before Him and trusting Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So Jesus' message was the same as John's. They had a unifying theme. In order for people to enter the kingdom of heaven, there's one most significant action, and it's repentance. So people are prepared for the Lord when they repent. Christmas, then, is for repentance. John and Jesus announced what Gabriel had told Zechariah 30 years before. A people are prepared for the Lord by repentance. So tonight, let me just ask again, are you ready for Christmas spiritually, biblically? Because the most important posture of all of our hearts as we approach not just Wednesday, but Thursday and next week in 2025 and beyond, the most important posture of our hearts is a posture of humility, where we practice daily repentance, where we seek with all of our hearts to love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was in the late 1700s that a man named James Montgomery wrote a poem. And he titled this poem, Angels from the Realms of Glory. He was born in Scotland, and he wrote this poem, and it was published in a newspaper that he helped publish in England. And he wrote it as a Christmas poem, and it was first published on Christmas Eve in 1816. 2 years later, it was paired with a melody that had been written by Henry Smart, and the melody was just called Regent Square, and those two things came together, the words and the music, to produce a Christmas carol that we're familiar with. The first verse begins like this. It's addressing the angels. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. And you know the refrain after every verse is come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And there's three subsequent verses. The first verse addresses the angels. Angels from the realms of glory. And then shepherds in the field abiding. And then sages, leave your contemplations. And then saints before the altar bending. But it's the fifth verse that I'd like to call your attention to tonight, because it's written to sinners, of which we would all acknowledge that we are. And here's the verse. Sinners, wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pains, justice now revokes your sentence. Mercy calls you. Break your chains. And the refrain is, come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And then the poem would conclude with these verses. Though an infant, now we view him. He shall fill his father's throne. Gather all the nations to him. Every knee shall then bow down. All creation join in praising. God the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voices raising to the eternal three in one. So this Christmas, I just have one statement to really drop on us and leave us with. And it's simply this. To prepare for Christmas, the best way to do so is to cultivate your joy. And in your joy, repent. And repent and experience joy. See, here's what happens at Christmas when we take some time to pause and think about our lives and our hearts, and to welcome Jesus not just into a manger, but into our souls and our lives and our thoughts, and give him all of our loyalty. When we pause and we think about Christmas, it produces joy. And in that experience of joy, we should then say, thank you so much, Lord, for saving me from my sins. And for the sins I've committed this day, I repent, I confess, and I ask that you cleanse me and clear my heart and my mind. And as you do so and as you repent, you will experience even more and greater joy, knowing the reality that you are right with God simply through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so what the angels declared on that first Christmas night, that to the shepherds, good news of great joy will be for all the people. We can only experience it when we fully repent and believe. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we're told this. The Gabriel came and spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And get this, because he will save his people from their sins. So Christmas, indeed, is about repentance. There's nothing more wonderful than repentance, because repentance places us in right standing and true fellowship and friendship and unity, and also produces joy in us through the Holy Spirit as we seek to walk intimately with God. In Acts chapter 11, 18, and I'll leave us with this and invite our worship team to come forward. But here's the context to Acts 11, 18, as Peter had gone to a Roman centurion's home. And Peter didn't associate with Gentiles at this time in Acts. But the Holy Spirit had directed him to go. And when he gets to Cornelius's home, Peter just preaches the gospel. And even while Peter is trying to finish up his sermon, he doesn't even get finished. The scripture says, even while he's still speaking, the Holy Spirit falls. And these Gentiles believe in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter is just stunned. And then the Jerusalem church calls Peter back, says, what have you done? This is supposed to have been like a Jewish thing, and now you've gone and preached to the Gentiles, and the gospel is like overlapped into the Gentiles. What have you done? And Peter's like, all I did was what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I went and I preached to them, and they received and they believed in Christ, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and the church just went into a hushed silence, awe. And this is what they said in Acts 11, 18. So then, God has given what? Repentance, resulting in life, even to the Gentiles. It's a night to celebrate. It's a night to wonder. And it's also a night to repent. It's a night to clear your head and to clear your heart. A night to enjoy on the silent night that God loves us so much that he sent a son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And the pathway is through repentance. Let's pray.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.